May the 16th, 1993.
We have a little bit of confusion here. You see, George went over, and that was the only words that he ever used. I'm just spreading the word. Come to find out, he's spreading Coleman's word, his word, everybody's word, and living absolutely incorrectly to even be considered God's word. He was spreading around a bunch of books, and yes, he believed. He says now that he doesn't. Don't be foolish. The word needs to go out. God's promise was that the word would be brought, and it would go to the four corners of the world. It doesn't mean that you have to take it over to the fourth corner and cram it down a black man's throat, for instance. God sends the word. It will go. And you can still work within the laws of the land, within the respect of your brother, without it sounding crazy and far out. But yes, indeed, you ones are under protection. We have you absolutely under constant shielding, and I guess we can just say you're wired. You're wired into our computers. It's not a good explanation, but you better believe that God knows every time a sparrow falls, then you're not going to get out from under that vigil, even if you want to. The difference is when you deny God, then we must remove ourselves. We must back off and let you experience whatever you have decided that you need to now experience. But if it is wrong, and if it is against God and the laws of God, you will find now that things are coming back at you. What that old universal law of what you send forth will come back. I'll tell you, it's getting faster and faster and faster, friends. You may kick God out in the morning and you are in serious trouble by mid-afternoon.
Okay, thank you very much, Senator. A couple of our folks here have two questions which seem rather related. Basically, how can we become pure vessels of light and release all darkness and anti-God within us? Is there a divine timing on that? This person asks, and I think this could be sort of generic for a lot of us, really. Am I holding myself back? And another related question, a person has taken a lot of classes, done a lot of work, and they thought they were able to receive the instructions directly, but somehow they seem to have lost that ability. Is there something wrong with the individual? Can you give us some guidance and direction on how individuals can become individually enlightened?
Well, maybe I can help. Most people tend to work at it. I'm going to go and sit and meditate for 15 minutes, or I'm going to do these specific things. Usually when you work at it so hard, you're so conscious of what you're trying to do that you're focused on that rather than the actual receiving. As you grow, however, you will just find it happening. Now, if you grow careless, and here's what happens usually when you begin to feel that you're not receiving. You will have been receiving, but as your own spiritual growth becomes more positive and God of light oriented, sometimes you have picked up an incorrect or an adversarial speaker. And as you become one higher with the light, the frequencies change and those ones go away. so that there will be periods in your growth where you may not even appear to have a guide or a friend. Because as your intent grows more toward God, you pick up God's higher energies. And that means that other ones are dropping off along the way, as they are no longer accepted into your realm of consciousness. That usually means you are really traveling on your path. That's very, very good. Don't mourn the ones that go. But as you begin to clear your space, you will absolutely, subconsciously, never go into meditation or try to receive without saying, "All darkness, away from me. I will accept no dark energies into my realm of thought." And they are obligated to leave. They'll play with you for quite a while. And you have to remember something. When ones are efforting to trap you, they will tell you all the right things. They won't let you down until the going gets rough and you have served your purpose. And then they'll dump you. And this is why we struggle so long efforting to keep ones within this circle of understanding. And this would be true of George. Because the truth is 99 99/100% there in the beginning. And I will tell you, abundance is God. God is abundance. So you don't need to go live in the gutter just to prove your godness and your goodness and wear sackcloth and put ashes on your head. That is not God. That is your trying to make a statement in the physical format. On the other hand, it's the old saying, money is the root of all evil. No, money doesn't have anything to do with anything. Nothing. It is what you do with it, your consciousness about it. It is your love of the commodity, your insecurity about it, that gives you the trouble. So until you reach these plateaus where that enters the picture again, maybe you can just stay right on this path. And that friend is just speaking in your ear. But as you get more discerning, you will sort it out. And you will require that it clean itself up, or you will cast it out. So you are really traveling on the right path if you're losing some of those dark energies, because they're always trying to communicate.
On another subject, here in this area, of course, a great many people are or have been in the Mormon Church. This is a very strong faith for those who are based in it. And so a couple of questions related. Do the patriarch blessings that are a part of the doctrine of the Church, do the patriarch blessings have any truth in them? And what about baptism? And is baptism as such, this ritual, is this necessary in any way? That's just a question.
Well, we have to go right back to what I said earlier, and I'm not picking one religion versus another. There is as much secret ritual, if you will, in the Catholic Church as there is in the Mormon. So we won't talk about the secretness. You see, I'm first to say that God is totally open in every way. There is nothing that goes on in the temple. There is no price to get into God's temple or into oneness with Him. There's no tithing that makes you more worthy than another. And the reason that I'm saying this is because I don't like talking about religious doctrines. Because doctrines, and when we talk about these blessings and we talk about baptism, what are we talking about? We are talking about rituals that are done in a physical form. Let us take baptism, either by putting some water onto the head, the symbolic baptism, or the immersion. You're still going under very physical, compounded, manifested water. You can be evil, you can be criminal. It is like the Catholic Church, where the criminal goes out and murders somebody on Saturday night and goes over to confession and says, "Father, forgive me. You know, I'm not doing this anymore. What is my penalty for having done this?" "Well, do you repent?" "Yes, I do. I'm sorry I did that." Well, he may or may not be. Once again, you are talking about a physical experience. And the thing that is going to make the difference in your life is your soul, heart experience. So what you are dealing with is the person offering these sacraments. What is the intent of that one? Is it to capture you and say, "All right, now you're going to tithe so that you can be baptized and become one in this church"? Or is he really saying, "Come one to me for nothing except the desire for holiness, and we will baptize you"? You also have, on the other hand, the recipient or the participant. What is the intent? Is it to get into the inner circle of the church, to grow in the ego hierarchy of the church? Or does the simplicity without ego cause you to want to be close to Father? At which point you find you don't need the baptism, you don't need the candle lighting, you don't need the ritual. You are already there in perfect grace. But man comes along and he's got to put all these other things on it, so that it fills up an hour in the morning, and so he can give you the set of books to read, and then he can get you doing what he wants you to do in a given indoctrination. So it is both valid and it is totally worthless. If the heart is not involved, it's worthless under all circumstances. A ritual can be extremely valuable if it means something to you, as with the holy pipe or the sacred pipe ceremonies of a legitimate Native American, for instance. And I say legitimate because now you can buy a pipe in the gift store, you can go over and get some lessons, and you can puff away. It doesn't make it sacred. For a Lakota Sioux, for instance, to pick up that sacred pipe in sacredness focuses his thoughts, his very being, into his oneness with God, that he can visualize becoming one through the smoke and so forth. It is an extremely sacred ceremony. A talisman can be all right. Put something around your finger and you will remember. That old ribbon around your finger is okay. You look at it and you want to remember God for a moment. But the ritual will never get you there. Never. More.
Right.
More or move on. Does that answer the question?
I don't think. It has been suggested that any of us do.
Come closer.
Hello.
We need you closer to the mic. You're breaking up.
Oh, okay. Is this better now?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It has come to our attention that it may be advisable for members of this. After And some have explored the area of Arizona, Arizona. And there are some problems with Sedona in that it is an expensive place. It also has steam, does not lend itself for growing a crop or living underground, some of the things that we have advised of that. Yeah. And so, do you have any suggestions regarding that location or okay, or
repeat the last sentence, please.
Are there any feelings about how we should approach this? Of us to have a particular calling to go to a particular place, and how should we approach this this question of?
Well, you're going to have to consider absolutely the inner guide, and make sure that the inner guide that you're talking to is not attached to that ego, just afraid of wherever you happen to be. Ones along the coast, you know, after an earthquake will say, oh, I better get relocated. So you get a lot more inner voices speaking to you. If you need to be somewhere else, you'll begin to be urged. You will have dreams about it. You will be pushed almost to go elsewhere. You'll be guided elsewhere. Particular places may very well call to you, to your heart. You have to be extremely careful about places that are known to be high energy vortexes, such as Sedona. The reason that one feels so much energy around a place like Sedona is that it's being pumped in there from places like Boynton Canyon and great underground bases. And there is also a lot of very, very high, extremely high chaotic energy there. So you have to have your balance already before you go to a place like that, or you will be absolutely, incredibly miserable. You won't be happy. You will get sick. If, on the other hand, God is somehow telling you you need to be there, then who am I to tell you that maybe you shouldn't go to a place like Sedona? The value of the area around Sedona is not what is being touted to you now. So be very careful before you just pick up and go anywhere. If you are responding to a mission call, you'll get it. And it doesn't necessarily mean just because you're in a place that Mr. Stallion says is going to be underwater one of these days, doesn't mean that you're unsafe. If you listen to your guidance and you're not done with your mission, you're going to know to be gone that day. I can guarantee it. That's just the way it is. And ones have a tendency to want to move and shift. If you are in a known disaster area, along that San Andreas Fault, for instance, people just can't fake. Although some very God-connected, very God-oriented people will be right on that fault when that earthquake comes, because they will have a need to be there for service. So my best advice, if that's what you were asking for, is to take your time for all purposes. Do not just pack up unless God has literally said, get out of here right now, right now. That's intuition talking to you. And sometimes you will even visualize what will come. But even at that, give it a try first, for goodness sakes. Don't cut all your strings and all your ribbons and all your roots just to tear off to some place that somebody else said might be better. Or you experience that it was a nice holiday and you think you can serve there better. Try it first. You may find you don't like it at all. Another question, please.
Yeah. Another question related to what might be at a particular time. Possibly have an option for getting involved.
We're not picking you up, Sam. It's breaking up too badly.
One of the options that we have, if it seems, in order to try to change things or to slow down the regression into the this that we are headed for, would be to become active politically. This be advisable, or what activities would not be should engage in a political way?
In a political way, just stay absolutely within the law of the land. You can make a statement. I think of demonstrations, for instance. What you are witnessing around your nation, around the world, are orchestrated demonstrations for chaos, for trouble. You have to make a statement. You have to write your congressman so that they know every minute you're watching them. On the other hand, you do not have to make a massive target of yourself. You don't go out and shave your head and carry guns and then say you're going to change the world. You become a skinhead. You're radical. You're a fanatic, whether you are or not. So you have to be very careful in your actions so that you make your statements within the constitutional rights, but you always guide yourself carefully. You cannot go and just hibernate and expect your nation to turn around. On the other hand, to go out and really, really fight with arms, to bear arms, for instance, they mark you as a target for watching. When you buy a weapon, for instance, you are now marked, and they keep a going record, computer record, on that good old Lenz-Law system about your activities. You can participate fully. We participate fully right here, these people in this human format, and yet you will not find a group, a cult. There is nothing they can nail on anybody here. They have put this place under surveillance for 5 years, and they only find good business being done, good corporate structure, business with integrity. You can make massive statements, and you can work with groups if you do not form a fanatic group. One of the hardest things that you're going to have to face is that if you do not believe the indoctrinated church religion, and you think you're going to go off and work, quote, with a group. Let us talk about the Clare Prophet group, for instance. That one's close enough to you.
Yes.
They didn't do anything wrong. But you see, they were working toward your survival in that group. The doctrines that they taught, we won't even go into. But most ones joining that group went into it with God in their heart, constitution and nation, and wanting to survive. So they did nothing wrong. But there is too much strength in those groups, and the government planned, the elite planned to pull every one of them down. There is a black group they're after now. And they always use child abuse and sunken domes and survival places, they make these groups sound like fanatics. Well, you've got a situation where David Koresh and the ones working in Waco were basically from the Jewish faith. They had a Davidian star. They also were from the Seventh-day Adventists. You had a group down there where most of the ones who went within that compound went in for the right reasons. David Koresh, however, was set up exactly the same way Jim Jones was set up. He was a tool to suck people in. Anytime you find the leaders of a group breaking the laws of God, sodomizing and having sex with children, and disallowing marriage couples in the commune, but he would have his selection of women, that is wrong. That's against the laws of God, those actions. So beware, because you know they're being set up to later be pulled down. They're always going to tell you the truth. But you see, even there, listen to what they're saying. They will say this compound. They call Weaver's house at Ruby Creek on Ruby Mountain a compound. A compound at least has to have a fence, friends. You at least have to be defending something. There was no compound at the Davidians until the ATF encircled it in razor barbed wire. So you just have to keep your eyes open. Be careful. Don't rush out and join things. Always know that you're getting on lists. I have to caution ones here not to get on any more lists than necessary, because you're already watched. And if you end up getting on the wrong list, they're going to watch you more closely. And then the minute anybody does anything wrong, they'll mail the whole bunch. That's why we don't have a group. But we do unify for the purpose of making a statement, or writing to the congressman, or writing in behalf of a brother. You must do that. That's all you have left. The pen is mightier than the sword if you'll use it. And you can use it in proof. There's enough proof yet to be had that you don't need to make up a big story. The truth is ample enough.
Is it, Commander, is it possible or even feasible for some of your town crew to help, for instance, elect the Congress?
Depends on how strong they feel. I think it has to be an absolutely crazy man to even want to be there, or an incredibly dedicated person. But yes, if you could begin to, that's the only way you'll ever change that system, is to put worthy people in there and make sure they don't get corrupted. Unfortunately, usually with a grassroots system, there are so few really good men willing to expose themselves to that, that you're going to find that most of the ones, you won't find this as much in Utah, quite frankly, as you will other places, except in the hierarchy. Now, this is the interesting thing. Most of the grassroots people of Utah are so basically good that it will blow your mind in having to face what has happened to the hierarchy of the Mormon faith that has gone into to situations like Brent Scowcroft, who gets knighted for service by the Queen of England. So you have to remember that you're dealing here with ones wishing to change the system and being willing to serve. And those ones are valid. And then the ones who simply will get in, and they will at some point be blackmailed. Because if there is any intention or possibility or probability of one serving in Congress, the enemy gets busy right fast making sure there's something in the past to blackmail.